As always, thank you so much for tuning in. I am your host, Taylor McClure, for the Daily News Show, Township's Daily News Bits here at CIDI 99.1 FM. For the next week and a half, we are going to be running special episodes with the candidates for the upcoming election for the Brome-Missisquoi region. Chatting with me is Lynn Moore, candidate for the Canadian Party of Quebec, who is going to be speaking to us about her political platform and what she plans to address in this year's upcoming election. Thank you so much, Lynn, for being here with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Taylor, for the invitation. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about something that is critical, I think, at this point. How are we going to decide the next provincial government?
Can you please begin by speaking to us a little bit about your background and how you got into politics?
Ooh, how I got into politics was essentially I jumped into it. I had no intention the Tuesday morning that I got up to enter politics, but I was listening to the CBC Radio Noon program with Sean Appel, and being interviewed was Colin Standish of the Canadian Party of Quebec. And I found that he spoke to me, that he addressed all of the concerns that I was interested in, and I was so impressed with the man that I started researching on my little laptop, and I read a Gazette article by a former colleague, Linda Goulet, who I really respect. I mean, she's a top-notch journalist. She doesn't let anything slip by her. What I read was astonishing because, again, Colin Standish spoke to me directly about my concerns as a native Quebecer about the direction the province was going in. So I looked to see who was the candidate in this riding, and there was no candidate. And I thought to myself, well, if you are really interested in improving life in your province, you have to do something. So I contacted the party and said, yes, I'd be interested in running as a candidate. And it was lots of fun because there were only a couple of days to gather at least 100 signatures to be on the ballot. And with a little help from friends, that was done.
Now, can you speak to us a little bit about your political platform under the Canadian Party of Quebec?
Well, the utmost importance is respect. Respect for everyone, for Francophones, for Allophones, for Anglophones, for every Quebecer, for new arrivals to ninth generation like Colin Standish. I think that recent governments have pitted one group against the other in order to stay in power. Every time the language situation settles down in Quebec, someone stirs it up to their own advantage. And what I'd like to see is freedom of choice, respect for one another, and the right to choose where you go to school, what language you speak at home and at work, and just day to day, and that there be no discrimination. Colin Standish, who is a ninth generation, that's nine generation townshiper, he's pledged to put the eastern townships back on the map, literally and figuratively. One of the things that the Canadian Party of Quebec is proposing is renaming the Estrie region, Eastern Townships, Canton de l'Est. That's what most people want, yet the government has not listened. It's terrible. This has been a controversy for some time, and it really should be settled. There is a patrimoine, a heritage going back in the townships of Anglos, Irish, Scots, people fleeing the U.S., the United Empire Loyalists. We have to have that heritage back here. And the party also supports passenger rail service passing through as it travels from Montreal to Boston and Boston to Montreal. So there would be stops in Farnham, Bromont, Magog, Sherbrooke. Imagine what that would do for tourism. Then, with a little luck and quite a bit of investment, maybe that could be developed into a commuter train, which would be wonderful, taking all sorts of cars off the road and lessening pollution. Another thing is the Brome Missisquoi Perkins Hospital, founded and heavily supported by the Anglophone community. We want to ensure that that hospital, which now is also supported by the Francophone community, I must say, has full bilingual services. Now, there are still older people, a lot of older people in this region, who need to access health services in their native tongue, especially when they're ill and they're suffering from mental handicaps. And the party would reestablish the Sherbrooke Hospital as a bilingual institution. Again, that has sort of been taken over by governments, by provincial governments in recent decades. It's time to return to our heritage. And to that end, the umbrella clause is the proposed English Language Services Act, which would guarantee for English-speaking people English language services, for provincial services, for municipal services, and all municipalities could determine the language they choose to function in, where under Bill 96, 15 of 18 bilingual municipalities in the Eastern Townships stand to lose their status. This can't happen. We have too much history going back here, where the English and the French lived side by side, worked side by side, tilled the land, pulled the rocks off, cut down the trees. They worked together. We don't want divisions. We want the English heritage respected along with the French.
Now, what issues do you plan to address specifically here in the local riding of Brome Missisquoi if you're elected? What is your focus here?
Well, my key concern about Quebec now is the education system. For me, education is the calling card to a better future. This does not matter if it's academic education or trade education. We need both. Not everyone wants to be a teacher or a university professor or a philosopher. We need welders, we need electricians, we need car mechanics, we need artists. And all of these people should be able to access whatever type of education they choose to follow in the language of their choice. And right now, we have a government that would deny access to even Francophones. The CAC would put a cap on Francophones going to Cégeps in Quebec. Does this seem reasonable? We live in a global world. I think that it's no longer okay to be bilingual. I think the kids that are going to school now should study at least three languages while they are young. When you're young and learn a language, you don't have a terrible accent in that language, for one thing. For instance, I began to learn French in grade 3, and French was treated as a subject. I have a terrible accent in French, whereas my daughter went to immersion school. This, while we were in Ontario, while I was working for the Toronto Star, I enrolled her in a French immersion program, and her French was impeccable, and she could write, of course, in French also. So I think everyone has the right to the education of their choice.
Now, at the provincial level, is there anything specific that you plan to address?
Well, I think, firstly, that Bill 96, Bill 40, and Bill 21 have to be done away with. Those bills hinder Quebec's progress. I think the government is being two-faced about how it approaches the world. On one hand, the provincial government is throwing money into key global industries such as software development, video game development, and aerospace. So it wants these industries to flourish on one hand, yet these industries have a hard time attracting talent from the global pool because key executives coming to Quebec will probably not be allowed, certainly not be allowed, to send their children to English schools, to the English school system, even a French immersion program in the English school system. So would an executive who has a choice of a job, or a video creator, let's say, who has a choice of a job in California or in London or in Spain, why would that person choose Quebec if they cannot educate their children in the language or the school system of their choice? Furthermore, that person might have a partner who wears a religious symbol. That person would not be eligible to work in hospitals, as a teacher, as a person of authority. So that potential employee, that potential key person to a key industry might well avoid Quebec. So we lose here. Quebec loses financially, socially, economically.
Now, do you already have initiatives, projects, perhaps ideas of legislative change, kind of what you were just mentioning, in mind to help better address these issues?
Well, firstly, the Canadian Party of Quebec would abolish, get rid of completely, Bill 96, Bill 21, and Bill 40. The Canadian Party of Quebec, right off the bat, would repeal Bill 40, which changes the school board system in Quebec to service centers of a sort. It's very bizarre. And Anglophone and Francophone boards have united in a bid to scrap this crazy legislation. So the Canadian Party of Quebec would approach that situation of school board jurisdictions with common sense school governance reforms. Secondly, party would create a province-wide symposium to address Quebec's chronically low youth and adult literacy rates and high school graduation rates. You know, Taylor, I have met so many people, smart people, clever people, problem solvers who for one reason or another, usually financial, did not graduate high school. And they are just handicapped. Now, they could do very well in a company, but there's a ceiling for them. And I find that so distressful because these people, given the proper tools, could, for themselves and their families, and for our economy, do so much better. You know, this appalls me that the Quebec government is satisfied with such low rates of literacy. This should be one of the key projects of any provincial government. Education is in the provincial sector. We should be addressing this. No, not laissez-faire, but pointed legislation, pointed activities to improve literacy rates and graduation. There should be better resources and support for Quebec children with learning difficulties. Dyslexia affects at least 10% of the population. It could be minor forms or major. And we are having teachers deal with large classroom sizes, plus special needs kids, plus kids learning at different levels, plus kids with a very common problem such as dyslexia. We should be addressing that more forcefully. School ventilation. we all know, has to be improved. We cannot have kids sweltering in spring and summer and dealing with cold drafts in winter. You know, the schools have to be retrofitted, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the Canadian Party of Quebec. And we also have an initiative to develop a one-of-a-kind bilingual university and a High School of Montreal reboot. So a lot is needed on the education front. But firstly and most foremost, we have to have the ability to send our children to the schools of our choice or of our children's choice. I mean, as it is, you know, adult or almost adult Francophones, if they want to go to an English cégep, they can't because enrollment for Francophones will be capped under Bill 96. This does not make any sense in a global world. I mean, you look at past sovereigntists, such as René Lévesque. He spoke perfect English. He worked overseas as a journalist. He would be the first, I believe, to object strongly to Bill 96, to Bill 21, and to Bill 40. Jacques Parizeau, educated in English in England, spoke with a plummy British accent. I mean, how can you deny the right of Francophones to be educated in another language, especially during these times? It's a global world. We have to act globally to attack critical issues like climate change, like poverty abroad. It's appalling. Now, we cannot any longer think of our little neighborhood. We are global. Kids should have the right to have a basic education in two languages and early access to a third language. In Europe, this is done as a matter of course. You know, get with the program, people.
Now, you've been touching on this throughout the interview, Lynn, about Bill 96, and it's on your mind. It's on everyone's minds going into this election because people don't know what's going to happen in the upcoming months now that it's passed. Now, you've made your position very clear. I wasn't sure if you wanted to speak a little bit more about Bill 96 and what sort of impacts it will have here on the province from your perspective.
Well, again, socially, economically, it's a disaster. We spoke about social issues. I mean, these things will affect Quebecers the rest of their lives. I mean, kids starting school now will be affected by this, should Bill 96 remain on the books. Economically, it does not make sense. We are hindering businesses. We are shackling them with needless expense, with needless paperwork. Please, come on. I think I've touched on why it does not make sense to have Bill 96 in effect in terms of our key industries. As I mentioned, you know, Montreal is considered one of the top five video game jurisdictions in the world. It could be number one or number two. Now, people, especially creators, want to live in Quebec. Quebec has this joie de vivre. It has this love of life that people cherish. It is, you know, I love Quebec. I chose to live here over Ontario, over British Columbia. And I know many people who have worked outside of the province and come back here, Colin Standish among them. But Taylor, there is something I'd like to address, and I should have raised it right off the bat. Most people, when I introduce myself to Francophones, for instance, and say I'm representing the Canadian Party of Quebec, immediately it becomes an emotional issue because they hear Canadian Party of Quebec and they think, oh, this person is against French rights. This person wants to abolish Bill 101. That is not at all true. Bill 101 was needed. We've done that. Bill 96 is draconian. No one needs that. Not francophones, not allophones, not newcomers to the province. And I think if a lot of people could look at Bill 96 without attaching the emotional baggage of yesteryear, it would be so much better.
Now, you were mentioning before how you plan on basically repealing Bill 96 at the provincial level. So my next question for you was, how do you plan on going addressing this bill amongst the other bills that you mentioned at the National Assembly, if you are voted in?
Well, we will take it one step at a time. I think the first step would be to educate all Quebecers about what Bill 96 really means to them and the prospects, the future prospects of Quebec.
Now, from your perspective, Lynn, why is this election so important? Why should people get out there and vote this year? And why should they vote for you?
I think this election is very important because we have, it seems to me, reached a tipping point where things have gone beyond sensible, required, necessary to draconian and oppressive, repressive. And we have to stop this. I mean, I think Anglophones historically, I know speaking for myself, have carried a sense of guilt because at one time, Francophones were horribly discriminated against. We know this, you know, Alcan operating in the hinterlands of Quebec. Well, it's not the hinterlands. I shouldn't say that. You know, the foremen or the executives would train incoming Americans or incoming English Canadians that were brought in to fill positions in that company. These Francophone foremen or executives would train their superiors. I say that in quotes. They would not get the job. Time after time, they would not get the job. That's wrong. And this whole business is sort of a cliche now about the sales clerks at Eaton's not being allowed to speak English during their own breaks. I mean, my mother, who is not a political person at all, was appalled by this. But we have gone to the other side. Kids in schoolyards are harassed, I'm told, if they speak English. Kids going to French schools are harassed. We have divided our schools into English and French. The the regional high school that my nieces attended in the Laurentians, and I'm sure the high school here may follow the same route, they would organize things so the lunch hour of the English students did not occur at the same time as the lunch hour of the Francophone students. Now, why would this be? They did not want mingling. Did they fear fighting? Did they fear integration? Did they fear friendships forming between the two groups? I do not understand it. So when I say that, it's like the pendulum has swung from one side of injustice to the Francophones to the other edge of injustice to the Anglophones, the Allophones, the new immigrants. Now, if you were a skilled doctor coming in from, let's say, Spain, would you choose to come to Quebec? Or would you choose another province or a state? I mean, now, we have, given the situation in the States, we in Canada have the ability to attract top talent to this country, to this province. But there are so many restrictions here that any clear-thinking individual, especially a person with a family, with kids, would be very hesitant to come here.
Now, those are all the questions that I had for you, Lynn, but I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention about the Canadian Party of Quebec, your platform or the issues you plan to address in the upcoming election if you're voted in?
Well, firstly, I would urge everyone to learn all they can about Colin Standish. This individual is incredible. His family history is fascinating. His intellect is astonishing. His commitment to change is just so powerful. That's the first thing. The second thing that I'd like to stress is the Canadian Party of Quebec, Parti Canadien du Québec, is not against French culture or French language. We want to protect French language and French culture. We want to encourage bilingualism as a basic. We want the Canadian Constitution respected. This business of inserting notwithstanding clauses into Quebec legislation is appalling. Generations have fought for credible constitutions. We cannot let ours be attacked in this manner. This is unforgivable. We want educational choice. We want prosperity for all. Anyone who comes to this province, who becomes a Quebecer. Let's bring Quebecers together again. You know, we don't want to stir the pot. We want to approach this with openness. We're open to including everyone under the umbrella. We don't want to pit Anglophones against Francophones, Francophones against immigrants, immigrants against Anglophones. No, no, no. We have to work together. We have to oppose laws that discriminate and divide.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn, for being so open with speaking to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Taylor, for this opportunity.
Calship's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.